Moncrief on News Talk.
If you got engaged this week, congratulations, because it wasn't just, you know, your woman. But will her choice of ring influence others? Matthew Weldon is a jewellery expert with Courtville Antiques. Matthew, good afternoon to you.
Good to be here, Sean.
Will people come in and say, give us the same ring or something like that ring? Well, her ring was like $1 million or something, so I assume.
Yeah, it was an enormous diamond. I don't think they'll come in directly and say, can I get a ring like Taylor Swift? But what I notice is subtly, you might see the trend kind of shift over to rings like that. And people might not even know why it is, but it just permeates and it's a really nice ring. So I think it will have a big influence.
It's a whopper though, isn't it? It's a massive thing.
Yeah, it's a whopper. It's 8 carats or so, and a carat is a fifth of a gram. So it's, I mean, diamond terms, this is enormous. What's interesting about it, though, I think, you know, looking at it as an antique jewellery person, is the shape of it. It's an old mine-cut diamond. Mm. These are extremely rare. I mean, they're cut roughly over 150 years ago. And the way that they're cut, it's not efficient at all for the actual rough diamond crystal. So you lose a lot of the diamond weight in it. So they're actually quite rare to get in that shape. And what I've noticed, why they appeal to people, and it wasn't just Taylor Swift, it's actually Zendaya got a ring just like it. Slightly different ring, but the stone was the same shape. Those old mine cuts are totally unique. They're what they call free cut diamonds, which means that there's no, the gem polisher, they don't have a map to actually cut it. It was cut at the mine that they were mined, which at that time was typically Brazil and India, Indian mines before the South African mines. And the diamond polisher was at the mine and had free rein to polish the rough crystals whatever way they thought was best. So they'll all look completely different.
And so would that have been a process then where the diamond was just there and then they made, when your mama said he was going to propose, that they go and make a ring around it then? Or would it have existed as a ring already?
I'd expect that diamond has existed in quite a few rings, I'd say. I'm not sure, but yeah. That stone is 150 years old. Styles change. In Courtville, you know, we specialise in Victorian and Edwardian pieces, but even there, they're 18 karat gold in the late 1800s. Then they moved to platinum, which is a different look. And as fashions changed, those stones are rare, so you can't get two of them. So they actually just changed the ring around it. So I'd say I'd expect her ring was made and it's a antique diamond that's put into it.
Yeah. And would that be, would when people come in, and maybe sometimes they know exactly what they want and sometimes they haven't a clue, but would there be a kind of a tendency towards antique rings or antique style rings anyway?
I mean, for us, seeing as that's what we see every day, but I would say there's been a big trend towards antique rings. And I think one of the biggest challenge that we face is actually just sourcing them. Like if I could wave a magic wand and stock the shop with the type of things that I'd like, I know we'd sell them straight away. Mm. But it really is a lot of my time in the business is just spent looking for things. But there has been an overall trend towards antique pieces. Like the shopping experience is totally different. You have to go in, try them on, because as I said about the antique diamonds, they're all different shapes. You might like a particular antique cut diamond and not like another one. Whereas with round stones, they're mathematically perfect, but it doesn't mean you'll like them any more or less,
though.
So.
Yeah. And there's no way he just rocked up and presented her with the ring. I mean, if she suddenly wouldn't fit on her stubby fingers, or, you know, then that would have been a bit aux, one would have thought.
Well, you know, there's always good rules of thumb, and you always aim to size the ring a bit bigger than you need it.
Sorry to interrupt you, but is there actually a proportion there between how tight you want the ring and how big the stone is? The bigger the stone, the looser the ring, or is there any kind of, you know?
It depends on every single ring, but a bigger stone, typically you need it sized a bit tighter because otherwise the stone will rock back and forth. Mm. But like every ring needs to be sized appropriately. So typically what we would do, because they are all once-offs, and because that means the crown of the ring, which is the top part, can be different shapes in every single one, we always aim to size it that we know for sure it's going to go on. And then you come in together after, or, you know, whenever the moment happens, and we size it to fit subsequently with the actual hand in front of us.
Right, okay, yeah. Because you need to be pretty certain.
No, you don't want to get that wrong. Yeah. Too big is good. It's like, if you know, if you're kids and you get them toys on Christmas, they don't have batteries, like they can't play with them. You want to get that ring on your hand straight away. Like,
yeah.
You know,
so. Now, but a ring that size as well, I imagine one worry she won't have anymore is that it won't fall down the sink when she's doing the washing up.
You would hope not. No,
yeah, that it would be too big. It'd get clogged up and destroy the plumbing,
yeah, I mean, imagine. I don't think it would fall down the sink, but rest assured, I'm sure you'd be looking after it if it did. So.
I imagine they'd be ripping out the plumbing for that one. Matthew, thanks so much for coming into us today. That was Matthew Weldon there, a jewellery expert with Courtville Antiques.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.